Hey guys, thanks for joining us today. We know it's been a while since you've heard from us, and we just want to thank you for your continued support through everything that's going on. The world was hit by a force of nature unlike anything we have ever experienced before in these past recent events. We extend our genuine hope of safety to everyone during COVID-19 pandemic, as well as the many individuals out there protesting for basic human rights and equality right now. BLM is a phase that we support not only in these trying times, but every single day. As a black man growing up in a racially charged community, having to worry about where I go and presenting myself in a certain or acceptable way has been something that I've dealt with since I was a child. I appreciate the love and everyone out there protesting, donating, and speaking out. This fight has been a battle for me since I was six, but with everyone's voices and actions, this hopefully can be a thing of the past. Once again, to all our listeners, we love and thank you and support you. Continue to fight the fight against racism. And now, back to the show.
All right, ladies, buckle up!
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Hey everyone, welcome back from a long spring break that Johnny and I had. I am your co-host, Julian, and with me as always,
Johnny Lightfoot.
As you could tell, we've been gone for almost 3 months now. Just with everything that's been going on, we've just kind of had a breather, been dealing with things that's been going on during the pandemic, and we're back and we're starting to talk with you guys now. We're going to talk a few things about, you know, casting news, everything that's been going on with movies from VODs to what's the future of theaters, and then we're going to talk about our top five quarantine movies, meaning movies that we've seen since we've been in quarantine here in Austin, Texas. So before we get started, Johnny, is there any highlights would you like to talk about since the last couple of months of being stuck at home in our stay-at-home orders?
Oh man, I mean, it seems like everything we've been doing, it's all from home. Luckily, I have a job that afforded me the ability to do that, so I'm blessed in that nature. But I mean, other than that, I mean, we'll get into some of it and some cool virtual stuff going on, whether that's VOD and festivals and streaming drops, new services, all that stuff. So,
okay. Well, I was going to say for me, like literally after almost 3 or 4 weeks in, I was one of the people that got laid off. So literally I've been bouncing back and forth helping my parents and my grandparents because they're not sick because of the COVID-19, but some things happened with some health concerns. So been dealing with that for the last month and a half. So now that everything has been settled and everything's fine, we're back, and like Johnny said, there's a lot of fun news we've been talking about and a lot of things that we would like to keep updates and talk to. So without further ado, Johnny, what is the first set of news that we have?
So some recent news dropped where we now have Ryan Gosling cast as the new Wolfman for Universal. I feel like this might have been something that would have been announced earlier, you know, coming off the success of Invisible Man. But I think it's going to be it's a really cool casting. I was one of the people who actually enjoyed the Benicio del Toro Wolfman, so yes. We'll see what direction they go with this.
It's quite, I want to see how they're going to modernize this, because to be honest, when we reviewed Invisible Man as a recent episode, it was kind of interesting to see that Universal is shifting their gears to like this monster universe, and now that they're basically relaunching it again, it's going to be interesting to see how all of this is going to pan out together. But at the same time, I don't know how I feel about Ryan Gosling being the titular Wolfman. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're definitely going to see it go more, you know, modern. And I'm interested to see it, especially with the Benicio one being a period piece type deal. So I like him as an actor. I can't say I've ever seen him perform bad. I feel like he's been in a few, like, not great movies, but I feel like he always gives a good performance.
You're right. And so I think his last thing that he did was Blade Runner 2049 for me. What was his last movie that he's just done? I don't recall.
He did First Man.
That's what it was. Okay. And I loved him in First Man. Wasn't like amazing, but it was like, okay, I like him in this. So to see him, I don't know how they're going to try to do this Wolfman character, but just to see them relaunching the Monster Universe after the success of Invisible Man was pretty awesome. So I'm looking forward to it. So we'll see how that goes.
All right. What do you got next?
So I I'm kind of loving hating this, but we're going to get into it. So I would say about 2 weeks ago, Zack Snyder did a 2013, like, what you call those, stay-at-home theater things for Man of Steel. And at the end of it, after basically he had a few of the cast members in there, he said that Warner Brothers has gave him the green light to do the Snyder Cut of the Justice League, gave him $30 million to do it. He can't do any reshoots with any of the actors from Justice League, but he will be able to make his own version, and it will be coming out on Warner Brothers' HBO Max in 2021. What day? We don't know, but we know it's coming. After years of, we want the Snyder Cut, we're finally getting it. I don't know how I feel about it. I'm kind of torn. I would rather say what you want to say, Johnny, before I say what I want to say about it.
Well, I mean, on one hand, I am excited because I actually like the ultimate cut of BVS. I think it definitely works better for the film when you're not missing all of that stuff. It makes a better through line. The story works more. And I think the biggest disappointment with Justice League was it was obviously too different movies made by two different filmmakers, and it was very disjointed. And while I enjoyed certain parts, it was obviously not a well done film. And on one hand, like, I'm excited this is happening, but on the other hand, I'm like, the initial report was $20 to $30 million for him to go back, probably do some reshoots, take some cuts, do new visual effects for a possible 4 hour long event. And then the executive at Warner Brothers came out not long after and was like, no, like, that's not even enough to do what he's trying to do. It's closer to 50, 60 million. And my thought process was, okay, you've got this new streaming service, and no offense, we'll get more into the streaming and VOD later, but how many more different things could you do with $50 or $60 million for your new streaming service?
Thank you. So I agree with you on that. I was like, you're using revenue to make a what if movie in a sense, right? Because Justice League, this version of Justice League we're going to get, it's not going to be in a continuation of the DCEU. It's just saying, hey, this is Zack Snyder's idea of what the movie was going to be, and it's a one-off, right? And I don't know how I'd feel about that. At one hand, it's like, if Warner Brothers was still going to go the way Zack Snyder wanted to do, sure, I would love this idea. But because this is going to be a one-off, we'll never probably have any ideas come of it, but probably, what, 5 or 6 years down the line, it's kind of like a hit or miss. And on top of that, how many original programs on HBO Max that they really have, you know? We're going to get into that later, but it's not that many. And for you to spend that much money on a property that you already could be banking money from, why, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've just entered the streaming war, and I feel like they knew they didn't have any big stuff on HBO Max, and so they basically had to say, okay, we got to drop this news right before the app launches to get people psyched. And to be honest, like, the people who have been loudest about the Zack Snyder cut are the minority of people.
Yes.
The people who yell the loudest usually are the unhappy people are usually in the minority. I'm not saying that's always, but I've even had people who love the DCEU who have said, like, I don't care.
I'm one of those people.
Like, okay, give me Wonder Woman, give me Aquaman 2, give me more Shazam and Black Adam, give me new stuff. Let's not go back to old stuff.
It's like, to your point, it's been 3 years, and it'll be barking up 4 years when we get the Snyder cut of Justice League. Why do I care now? I honestly don't care anymore at this point. I understand the idea. We're going to get a four-hour epic. Cool. We're going to get another Watchmen movie that's going to be just long and unnecessary. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a better movie. But at the same time, it's just, you have so many different options for revenue that you can run into, and this is the way you're going to waste your money. Cool.
Yeah, and I mean, you're trying to bring back Cavill, right? So you're trying to bring back Cavill, and you've come out and said, we're not doing a Man of Steel 2. Okay, maybe Superman works better on a streaming. Maybe it works better on a TV show.
Thank you. like, you could do so many different things with Superman. I know that y'all came out and said that Henry Cavill will be making surprising cameos throughout the DCU. He's not done with what he's doing. But at the same time, we gotta keep this Superman train going. Yes, he's the most all-being powerful superhero in the DCU, but we still need to know what he's doing, what things are going on. Like, I would love to see maybe a small mini-series of what Superman's been doing leading to certain events that's happening through the movies of DCEU, but just to have him as cameo appearances, not having his own movie, solo movie, is just, like, we're wasting money to just say a what-if scenario. Cool.
Yeah, or give us some original stuff.
Like, I don't know. It's so many things you could have done with it. Like, I don't even think we still have a Cyborg movie coming out anytime soon, right?
No Cyborg. I know Ray Fisher was probably the most pumped when this was announced because I don't know that he's really working a lot. Well, nobody's really working a lot right now. But even before the shutdown, I don't think, like, I can't think of any projects he was really working on.
Yeah, Ray Fisher hasn't been doing any projects at the moment. The only thing was, it's like, you know, the Cyborg movie that's in development hell. Like, there's no writer, there's no director, and it was slated for maybe 2023, if I remember correctly. But there's nothing moving that story forward. So Ray Fisher's just sitting there not doing anything. So for him, this will be a win because Zach, if I remember correctly, is going to deep dive into his character origin and how he became Cyborg, you know? So
right.
I don't... So many different options, man. So it's
I mean, like I said, I'm glad we're getting it. I just don't know how glad I am at the cost. Yes. And I'm not sure how glad I am at the precedent that it sets. I mean, we talked about it with Sonic, and we both ended up liking Sonic, and I feel like the redesign was for the better. But it's still just, there's a little piece of me where it just doesn't sit well that we can let the fans dictate creative control over a studio.
And so, to your point, and that's what I was telling one of my friends the other day, is this: it tells the fans that they can control what content can be. So, i.e. what happened with Star Wars Episode 9, and we both talked about how it's just Star Wars, the fan service movie all over together, right?
Exactly. There's a difference between taking fan input and, like, being, you know, real with the fans and giving the fans some of what they want and pandering.
Exactly. And so now you're literally having this state where we talked about with Sonic, and now we're getting that with DCEU, where when the fans complain enough, like, the studio execs will say, okay, we're going to change the art a little bit. What is wrong with just keeping the art the way it is? One way or another, it's still art. We might not like it, like we did with the original cut of Batman vs. Superman Justice League, but hey, this was their vision, and they're moving forward with it, right? So, I don't know. It's a love-hate relationship with this. Yes, I'm excited because we're getting way more on it, but at the same time, why are we letting fans dictate what you're doing now? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. All right, enough about the Snyder Cut. Next up, so we're going to dive a little with all this quarantine happening and the theaters being shut down for most cases. There are a few theaters. I know of two here in the Central Texas area that are open. I haven't even checked to see what they are playing.
Wait, which two?
So it's the Discount Theater up at Lake Creek.
Okay.
Which is surprising, because I don't know how they afford to, like, pay people to clean up those chairs when they're only selling tickets for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And then the other one is that one down in Buda, the one that's also like a bowling alley and all of that.
Okay.
They're back open. But yeah, I don't know what they're playing. I know I got a survey from Alamo questionnaire asking, like, would I feel safe if they took these different precautions?
Yes, I took that.
How would I feel about a $10 food beverage minimum? All those sort of things, which I'm fine as long as there's content to be had and I feel safe going on. I can tell you right now, if a movie came out this Friday, I would not be in the theater, and I love the theater.
I completely agree. To your point, in Texas specifically, to the day of recording, we're doing this on a Monday. The last day of COVID-19 testing, we've had 1,900 people being tested positive for COVID-19. For me, like you said, anything in June, I'm not going to a theater and watching. I would say at least for that. And for some apparent reason, speaking of Warner Brothers, they still have a movie that's slated for mid-July, which is Tenet. directed by Christopher Nolan. So it's going to be interesting to see what will happen with that. But with all of this being said, what do you think will be the future of theaters and VOD releases coming up for the next, I guess, half of here, like 6 months?
Yeah, and I mean, I talked about it with Steven on Thunder Pop not long ago that, like, I don't foresee this even happening in July. I mean, I feel like it might be Thanksgiving before theaters reopen. And even if they do, are people going to feel safe going to them? And not even necessarily for their sake. I mean, me, I feel fine for my sake. I fear for my family members who mm-hmm. are elderly and sick. And I fear getting them sick. So I do it out of a responsibility I feel to the people around me. I feel like I personally would be fine if I got sick, but I'm trying to, you know, I'm making sure to think about others, not being selfish. As much as I love movies, you know, wanting to see 200 films a year, that's not going to happen. So we have things like VOD, streaming through services such as Netflix, Apple TV Plus, Hulu, and now HBO Max, which doesn't really have anything new movies-wise except for a documentary I watched a few days ago.
Okay. And so to your point, like right now we're at a precedent in time where we're trying to keep people safe but still release content, right? Because as you were saying, Warner Brothers is in a bind. Actually, every studio out there that's releasing that's trying to have their movies come out are in a bind right now because Disney doesn't have any new movies that's been released. They pushed Mulan all the way to the end of the year. And I think that the next movie that they're going to be releasing is called Artemis Fowl. That will come out in July on Disney Plus.
Yeah, they're pushing that. And they're also moving Hamilton up a full year. And they're going to release that on Disney Plus.
So, like, and that's why I was like, this is a push and pull kind of thing. And for Universal and Warner Brothers, both of them both released two tentpole movies, I would call them, out on VOD. Universal was first with Trolls World Tour. That came out in April, if I remember correctly. Like, first, second week of April, right before Easter. And then Scoob came out 3-4 weeks ago for Warner Brothers. And both of those made really big numbers in terms of VOD rentals, people buying them. Unfortunately, I have both of them right now, which I'm kind of upset about. We'll talk about that later. And that's how they're making their money right now. And for people, specifically movie chains like AMC and Regal, be mad that movie studios are like pushing movies out. It's like, what can I do to keep my doors open as well, you know?
Yeah, because the studio is thinking, AMC, even if you open your doors and you can only have 25% capacity, like, and then you got to think about, are you even going to be able to fill up 25% of your theater? Are you going to get that many people? Are families going to feel safe enough to take all their kids out and spend money on popcorn when for the last 2 months, people have been perfectly fine? And it's become the new norm now where it's like, this is how I get my content. I stay home and I pay $20 for it, and me and my family can watch the whole thing for $20.
And you're right. And so I can go buy my own popcorn, I can go get whatever I need from the grocery store, get it favored. Or if you want to go out and get it from the grocery store and go and just watch the movie. And now I have the movie and I can watch it as many times as I want, right? And I'm also, and I believe correctly, Universal almost got the exact same amount of money with World Tour just off of VOD releases than they did with the first movie when it was in theaters for what, 2 or 3 months. So I understand that you're mad about what's going on. What I love is what Alamo Drafthouse is doing, where they're having screenings where you can watch like a home theater at home kind of thing, where you can rent a ticket for like, what, $7 or $8 virtually, and we'll watch a documentary with a Q&A with the director. I forgot what documentary it was they did 2 weeks ago, but they did
Roar.
There you go. It was Roar. And you do stuff like that. AMC could do the exact same thing. They have a lot of, not a lot of them, but they have a few AMC movies that they can basically sit there and release and have a Q&A or something like that. Regal, I don't know about Regal. You can partner up with a studio and do stuff like that. But there's many ways I feel like a movie theater and a movie studio can make money during this quarantine. And Warner Brothers trying to have their biggest director and one of the up-and-coming stars have a movie come out in the middle of July, still where the pandemic is still racking up, and we don't know if the second wave, when is coming, why put yourself at risk, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why they were smart with that new trailer, is at the end of it, they just said coming to a theater. That way they can always backtrack, and people who don't keep up with movie release dates won't even know.
Right. So I don't know. It's kind of frustrating to see all of this happening, how like movie chains are just saying like, oh, we're going to just boycott Universal just because they gave out Trolls. But it's like, we also got to find a way to help each other out, because we don't know how long this pandemic is going to last.
Yeah, because Universal's also like, I didn't have to share half of the money with the theater.
No, not at all. They didn't have to. And so it's a give or take. Like, Disney even has to force their hands, and they're reopening Disney World, I think, next week or week after. And they're only going to do 25% capacity just so they can keep the wheels moving. And now Disney's going to have to figure out a way to keep pushing that content on Plus, and everybody's going to run the exact same thing. So it's frustrating and kind of nerve-wracking that we're not be able to watch as many movies as we want to. Like, I'm at right now 40 films to watch this year, and I wanted to be at like 100, 120, which I'm still on track for 100, but it's going to be pretty difficult when there's not that much content coming out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, that's why I've been watching a lot of streaming TV. Was just there hasn't been any content I want to see VOD-wise, outside of a few things. And I've done a few of the Alamo, like Terror Tuesday and Weird Wednesdays, which those aren't even like new releases.
And I was going to ask you real quick before we sidetrack, how have those Weird Wednesdays and Terror Tuesdays been? I've been trying to grab one, but I've been always not available at the times those come.
Oh man, for the price, because I want to say, yeah, they're like $6 or $7 for the tier. Like, they're cheaper than the regular VOD, and you get like a pre-show, like as if you went to the theater. So there's like a 15 minute pre-show that they give you that's tailored to that movie. So like, you know, you get that Alamo feel. So you get the pre-show, you get the don't talk PSA, and you get like Q&A's and stuff. It's definitely worth it.
Okay, see, so I'm gonna have to try to catch one. And then I know we were talking about, you know, virtual film festivals. I know Austin Film Festival might be doing something like that coming at the end of the year. I know we haven't heard anything from any other film festivals that's going to be coming, even especially during the fall yet. So
yeah, Fantastic Fest.
So yeah, what's going on with
Fantastic Fest? Still no word. We don't know. I did, through a Facebook group of mine, you know, a lot of people were shouting out Chattanooga Film Festival, which did theirs virtually last weekend. And I had a blast with it. For $30, I watched, even though I was working, I still watched 10 movies. They offered 20.
Oh, wow.
Okay. They also had a lot of live streaming, like Q&A and watch-alongs of other films. But the VOD was great, because I could literally, they have these festival movies and you can just watch them when you want. Downside was it's extremely secure, which is good for the people who curate this, but it's, you know, you have to watch it on a secured laptop, so you can't stream it on your phone or tablet.
Which I figured, okay.
So yeah, I mean, I was just literally plugging my laptop straight up to my TV and it was working fine. But yeah, there was a lot of good content on there, and two of the movies that were at that virtual film festival actually made my top five of quarantine, which we will be talking about soon.
I wish I was able to grab it, but due to like everything that was going back and forth, I couldn't. So unfortunately, I was going to say most of my movies are literally movies that were postponed to the VOD or, you know, have a streaming release date, which we'll get into in just a moment. But is there anything else that you're like anticipating or you're hopeful for as everything is like being ramped up from this pandemic in terms of movies or in films?
I mean, I would like to see more of those indie films like Saint Maud, I can't think of the name, but the Green Knight, like those A24 films. Yes. That they just keep pushing them back, and I just feel like Those movies would be perfect for VOD, and I would honestly pay $15 or $20 for one of those, where I'm a person, you know, I live by myself, and I have no interest in renting Trolls or Scoob, but you drop some of those, I might, you know, I'll watch those. If it's good, you might even get a second rental from me.
So to your point, I was pretty excited when I saw Universal drop all of its Focus Features content. So like Emma just was dropped not too long ago. They just did the movie with I forgot who is Ice Cube and I keep forgetting Tracy Ellis. Yeah, Tracy Ellis on there. Tracy Ellis on there this past Friday, and I'm down to watch both of those. Unfortunately, just because I need to keep myself entertained, and I have friends and a girlfriend who wants to watch movies, so I'm gonna be like, all right, I gotta put $20 in to rent this and see if this is good. And yeah, one or two of them are on here, but they're not like my favorite movies I watched this year, you know. So I'm down if A24 says, hey, for the movies that we were supposed to watch release in 2020, here you go. The $20 on, you know, Apple TV, like I've been doing, or, you know, Vudu or anything like that. I'll be so ready for that. Or if you even partner up with Netflix, like one company did, and release your, you know, indie film through Netflix, I'm ready to watch that, you know. And I'm just hopeful we do get more content as the thing goes by, because last month I've only watched, I think, 10 or 12 movies, but only 8 of them were new releases, you know. So I had to fish for those, so not even like amazing, I had to fish for them. So I'm down for any new real good content, you know. But without further
I definitely am with you there, and looking forward to that.
Perfect. And now, without further ado, into our top 5 movies since quarantine started. So, Johnny and I have a list of the top 5 movies that we've seen since we were put in stay-at-home orders here in Austin. Does it have to be released during quarantine, or does it have to be? I don't know what your rules were, but I thought it would be movies that we saw when they were quarantined that were released in 2020.
So, I just did a little bit of everything. Some of these were releases that, you know, were planned on coming out, whether that's, I have a film that came out on Netflix, and, you know, another two films, like I said, I saw it at the virtual film festival, which I wasn't planning on attending Chattanooga Film Festival. So those were just kind of lucky breaks.
Okay. So, yeah, with that being said, we both have our top 5 movies. Same concept. That's what I did. I basically just was like, okay, these are movies that were supposed to be released, but because of certain things, they got pushed back. So I've watched 5 movies, and what I'm going to do also in my top 5 is put you in the rank of where they are in terms of my movies of 2020, like my ranked list of 2020 movies. So hopefully that kind of gives you perspective on where I thought about these movies. Most of them are like, but we'll get there in just a second. Do you have any honorable mentions before we get started?
Let's see. An honorable mention, Extraordinary, which was one that Alamo did on their VOD platform. And that was one that was, you know, supposed to come out theater-wise. They were already prepping for it. And I really enjoyed that. It was, a date night movie in which it was pretty spooky, I guess, sort of movie. But that was one I definitely enjoyed. Another one, though, was The Vice Guide to Bigfoot. That was hilarious.
I was just going to ask you, where can I find it? That was at Chattanooga. Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, it was so funny. I wasn't expecting much, but golly, I had fun with that. And you know, it's almost like Vice was parodying themselves, because they're such a bro type thing. Yes. And then to have this mockumentary that's they're making fun of themselves as well. So I really appreciated that. Okay. What about you?
So for me, I would say 2 of the movies that I really enjoyed that weren't on the list, but they were like, okay, this is pretty interesting, was Code 8 and Extraction. Mm-hmm. Code 8 gives me a X-Men-esque idea of it, but if they took themselves a little bit more gritty and a little bit more serious, it was a really great concept. I wish there was more to be desired of it, especially with the third act, but it was still good nonetheless. And Extraction, I did not think I was going to like that movie.
We got to put a pin in that one.
Okay, all right. Perfect. With that being said, number 5 for me is going to be Scoop.
Right. Wait, what was that? We're having some technical difficulties. Sorry, folks. We're trying to do this streaming as opposed to being in the same room.
Okay, real quick. So I'm going to do it again. So my number 5 is Scoop. Have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm going to try to be very quick as I can about it. And Scoob, for me, was basically a movie about understanding the idea of the Mystery Inc. You know, you have the whole gang there, but you're seeing them after they're, like, a team and they've already been a group and they've already solved mysteries together. The idea is that they want to get a promotion and become a bigger group, but something happens and now they're in this Avenger-esque adventure trying to understand what's going on between Dick Dastardly, you know. And with that being said, they have a lot of Hanna-Barbera cartoons in it. So, as like I said, they have Dick Dash and Blue Falcon, you know, and they have way many others that's in there that if you've watched those back in the day, you love, right? It's not any different from the Scooby movie. In terms of the 40 movies I've watched, number 11, but it just didn't change anything about the Scooby-Doo form. It was just like, all right, we're going to give you a typical Scooby-Doo movie, but now let's have a Hanna-Barbera in it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of doing like a Hanna-Barbera universe movie-wise. So I'm interested to see that part of it.
It was interesting, but it's like, if you're going to make a Scooby-Doo movie, make a Scooby-Doo movie. Don't make a Scooby-Doo movie, but it's hidden under Hanna-Barbera, you know? And they've done so many references to Hanna-Barbera. I was like, okay, I get it, but let's move the story forward. Let's bring Scooby back. But nonetheless, it was still entertaining. It still had its Scooby-Doo moments in it. I enjoyed it. But it wasn't like anything groundbreaking, you know?
Okay.
Then what about your number five?
My number five is a movie that actually played at Fantastic Fest last year, but I didn't get to see, called Sea Fever. It's available for VOD on Amazon for like $5.
Okay.
And I thought it was really well done. I definitely thought the first two acts of the film were really good. It was a cool premise of this, like, a contagion pandemic while you're stuck on sea, and you're literally stuck on a boat with these people and you cannot get away from this creature that's like a virus. It's almost like John Carpenter's The Thing, but you're stuck on a boat. And it goes a little off the walls crazy in the third act, but I feel like overall I really enjoy it. I have it at number 23 out of 40 for the year. Okay. So almost cracked the first half, but I really enjoyed it overall.
Okay. And see, as you can tell, a lot of my movies that I've watched has been very shitty. That just lets you know how terrible these movies have been since quarantine. But with that being said, my number four is going to be Lovebirds. I really enjoy that movie. I don't know why I did. Issa Rae, and I keep forgetting how to say his name really well.
Kumail Nanjiani.
There you go, Kumail Nanjiani. They were so funny together. Like, their chemistry was so put well together. I just loved the movie the entire time. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it. I was like, on my first date, we're just trying to figure things out, and then some crap happens. No, it was like, hey, we go on a first date, we get this beautiful and flip, we're at each other on the open door, under drinking up, pissed off at each other, and we go on a date trying to spur something up, and it still didn't work, but something happens for us to basically eventually get back together, you know? And I loved every moment of it. Their chemistry together was fun. Some of the comedy fell flat, but I still loved it all the way through. I would definitely love to see them do a movie together again.
Cool. Where did you have it for your year? I haven't seen it yet.
I have it at number 10, right before Scoob. It's like I said, it was fun. I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. It's on Netflix right now. It got released like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So you can still catch it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking forward to it. And I guess I've been kind of saving it as like a date night thing. And it's just, we've always ended up just picking something different. So
it's a very good date night movie. We both watched it and we thought it was very cute. It was very cute. So I definitely say if y'all do decide to make it, I highly recommend it.
My number four is a film called I saw via the Chattanooga Film Festival VOD.
I heard that so good.
This was a movie where the premise sounds so dumb, and then people were raving about it. So I watched it, and I was like, this movie is so good. This is literally, the premise is about this shy girl who falls into a romantic attract. Like, she's attracted to a ride at a carnival, and it's a French film. Wow. It's based on a true story. And it's so good. Like, there is so much. You think it's going to be kind of silly on the premise, but it's about, like, you know, people with, you know, mental issues and struggling at home and, you know, not treating people well when obviously they have something going on. How can we be compassionate to our neighbors or our coworkers or family members? And it deals with this poor girl. And it's a really beautiful movie.
See, I heard so many great things. Like, I was watching something, I don't remember who's, but they kept raving about it. So I was like, I wish I could watch it, but I can't. Do they have any idea of anything to do with that?
I have it at 22 for year 4.
Let's see. Where can I go? Okay, yeah. My number 3 for now is Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. Have you seen it?
Oh, nice. I have not.
I've just so you know, I have not. Basically, Superman and them basically say, if you've seen all of the DC animated movies, this last one for New 52, and it's time for us to go fight Darkseid, and we're going to kill him. And so the first 5 minutes is them putting this all together, and then the intro happens, and you're like, oh, they lost. They got Darkseid. So the entire movie, why it's called, because Kanye basically goes and tries to kill him and like, stop him from completely obliterating Earth. The movie takes so many great turns, I don't want to explain anything else besides what I just mentioned to you. Is so, and I was like, this is a dark DC movie that I wanted. If Darkseid was to be your villain, and if you're gonna make a gritty, like red RT movie, this is what I wanted to see. And it was fantastic. I definitely love it. The ending is a sappy ending. It's not even one of those like, okay, this is amazing ending. It was like, oh damn. Okay, this makes sense now. And I hope they go a certain way with it with the new movies. But yeah, fantastic film. Enjoyed it. I highly recommend it, Johnny.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out.
Okay. And then now, what's your number 3?
My number 3 is Extraction. For okay. No other reason than during these dark times, this was just a nice change of pace. And I feel like stunt coordinators who direct movies just know how to do action well.
Yes.
And I was just like, within 30 minutes, I was like, okay, I know what this is, and I'm here for it. I'm here for some dumb explosions, and I'm here for Chris Hemsworth just doing Superman-type things as a soldier. And I like that they gave him a quasi-antagonist that was on par with him. And I'm not familiar with that guy, but apparently he's a big deal actor over in the Middle East. And so it was really cool to see Hemsworth and like another guy like equal. And I just thought the action was well done. It had some really cool shots that are made to look like one take that I can kind of see where they cut it together, but they still look and flow
fantastic.
Really awesome.
Fantastic. That action sequence that went for like almost 12 minutes, I believe. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And so, but
yeah, I have it at 3 and then 20 for the year.
So, yeah, like to your point, to go on to a little bit, like I didn't think, no offense to Chris Hemsworth, I love you though, by the way. I didn't think him as a lead actor was really good. He has some misses, a lot of misses, and I loved him in Rush. So I was like, okay, maybe this might be good, but it might be bad. And watching it, I was just like, yes, I need more movies like this from Chris Hemsworth because this was phenomenal. The action sequences were great. You could feel every person he kills. You could feel every moment of it. And the action sequence, like I said, that's 7 minutes long. Again, you could see certain cuts like you were mentioning, Johnny, but even like the idea of making it a sequence like the way they did was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Now, with that being said, I guess I'll go into my number 2. My number 2 is HBO's Bad Education.
Okay. I have that one above you, but we're close enough. Let's talk about it. I have it as my number 1.
Oh, wait. So let me ask, where do you have it placed in your list? Like your 2020 list?
At number 1. Oh, and my 2020 list?
Yes.
I want to say I have it at 16.
Okay. See, I have it at 5. Yeah, 5. Like, fantastic movie. Just to give a little backside, when I was in high school at Beaumont Independent School District, this is literally my life. Seeing, you know, the administration go through daily lives to see what's going on, and then only to find out that most of them are being arrested and charged or even leaving the school district because of fraud. And seeing this happen in New York and how somebody just completely keeps their whole life blind to this idea, and how, you know, Hugh Jackman's character is just going through the motions of being this superintendent, but keeping his life and his lifestyle all together in a completely different idea was just fantastic. I love this from Hugh Jackman. I forgot the other lady who was in this film, but Allison Janney, yes.
Yes.
Fantastic performances from both of them. If they don't get any, like, Emmy or Golden Globe nominations, I will be upset. But, yeah, fantastic. Fantastic writing, acting, directing, like fantastic movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think it might be Hugh Jackman's best like leading actor performance he's done in his career. He literally transforms into this man And it's tough because you're supposed to hate this guy, but he's so friggin' charming. And you're like, oh, no wonder the moms of every student in the district loves this guy. And he's literally getting away with stealing millions of dollars because he's charming.
And that's what bugs me about it. Like, you're sitting here watching Hugh Jackman become this, not tyrant, but become this evil person everybody wants him as. But for the whole year, he's just a superintendent who wants them to see, but at the same time, he's a narcissistic asshole is the word I'll call it.
Yeah.
And just like, what?
But the thing, the thing is, too, is he's actually really good at being a superintendent. Like, he's really good to these kids.
Like, knowing every little detail about what they're inspiring to be, what they study, what's interesting, what college they're going to, what's their major in college. I was just like, what? Ah, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
All right. So that's your number two.
Yes.
My number two is The Wanting Mayor, which was also at Chattanooga.
Okay.
And it is a very weird science fiction with a mind type thing. It's about a woman a line of women throughout time who pass a recurring dream throughout multiple generations. And so it dates like back before our time and then also in the future. And it's very well done for such a low budget movie. It's so hard for me to describe a movie like this, and I'm pretty sure I probably didn't even understand all of it. It's one of those movies I feel like I need to watch again, but it's very beautifully shot. It's got some great acting throughout, and it's just obviously beautifully written as well as beautifully shot. And I'm anxious to want to like spend some real time because I wasn't expecting a lot from this, and it being VOD during this festival, you know. If anything, one of the things I do miss about the theater experience is the only time I ever take my eyes off the screen is when I do my once per film bathroom break, unless it's terrible, then I do like two or three. And with doing these type of festival, because festival movies aren't like blockbusters, right? You can sit in your home and enjoy a blockbuster or a Scoob, you know, something big budget, but these like slower movies, it is very easy to be distracted, whether that's by a dog barking nearby or your phone dinging. And I found myself, because this was the first film I watched at the festival, from that point on, every movie I watched after that, I literally put my phone on silent to try to recreate that sort of like dialed in mode. And I wanted to go back and rewatch this one, and unfortunately, by the time I had seen the stuff I wanted to see, and I even had like two more that I wanted to see, they cut it off to where he couldn't watch anymore. So, but I'm really looking forward to it, and I think this is one of those films that whenever it does become available on VOD, I'm probably going to pay whatever it is, like $5-$7.
Okay, all right. Do you have any idea of when it probably might be released on VOD, or you don't know?
I have no idea. I'm assuming this year, based on a lot of the buzz and everything. But yeah, and the director, Nicholas Ash Bateman, man, his camera work and those shots, are fantastic. So, really good stuff from that. Like I said, it's number two on my year just because I think Bad Education is a better overall movie because The Wanting Mayor, and I suppose after I watch Wanting Mayor again, it will probably jump over Bad Education, but just having watched them both, Wanting Mayor, I need to go see again. I have it at 17 on the year.
Okay.
So Bad Education, I have literally one spot ahead of it for the year.
So most likely when you watch Wanting Mayor again, you're probably going to switch it, maybe. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And with that being said, another movie that I've watched, and I really did think I would enjoy it, but my number one is an animated movie called The Willoughbys. I really didn't know if I was going to enjoy this. It's based off of a book. The only reason why I know it was based off a book is because my cousins used to get this book all the time. But wow, what is a complete different movie than I think it was going to be. It basically narrates a story about a bunch of kids who have some ridiculous parents who just don't care about them, right? And so you're seeing them go through their lives, getting a nanny and a couple other things that happen. Won't try to spoil the movie unless somebody's watching it. But the animation reminds me of Kubo and the Two Strings.
Nice.
And it was really good. The cast, I will say, is phenomenal. You have Maya Rudolph, Will Forte, Terry Crews, Martin Short, Sean Colan, and your narrator, that's the most I'm going to give you for it, is Ricky Gervais, just to give you an idea. Like, a tame Ricky Gervais does a fantastic job, just so you know. The movie's very heartfelt, really nice. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it as well as I did. It reminds me of a really good family movie that toddles on the idea of being realistic, but at the same time being like a family animated movie, just like how I felt about Onward. But I feel like this hits more emotional points and more like themes that you really need out of an animated movie, and I enjoy it. Like, I think this is probably my best animated film I've seen. No, this is my best animated film I've seen this year. It's number 4 out of my 40. I really enjoyed it. I've watched it, I believe, twice. Probably gonna watch The Bastion again. It might flip-flop, but as of now, my number one is definitely The Willoughbys. I enjoyed it.
Cool. I'm probably going to have to check that out now.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It came out in April? Late April, maybe? Something like that. Yeah, and I enjoyed every moment. Like you were saying, most of the movies that I was watching on Netflix, unfortunately, just like Extraction, I had to take a bathroom break or I had to go text or like look on my social media. Willoughby's and Bad Education were those two movies where I did not. Like, I literally could not stop, like, take my phone. I mean, look, stop looking at the screen. And I enjoyed those moments. And the movie was fantastic. I enjoyed it. So I definitely recommend watching it. It's still on Netflix.
Before we start winding down, I do want to mention that without a shadow of a doubt, had it been in festivals at it or anything like that, and had the Academy not made the new rules after the OJ, that The Last Dance definitely would have been my number one if it was considered a movie.
Definitely. Best. I'll put it this way. If you look at Jane America, which it is, it's my best documentary of this year, definitely, because they're going to make it a documentary for some weird reason, but it's definitely one of the best TV series, because that's what I would category it. Best TV series I've seen this year. Miniseries. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yep. Definitely.
All right. Well, is there any other ideas or any like other things you want to discuss before we head out, Johnny?
No, I think that's about it from me. I hope everybody out there, again, I just hope everyone out there is being safe, and you're, you know, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, and we're glad to be back.
I'm glad to be back too. It's been way too long. Please, everyone, be safe, especially while they're still out there protesting. And please be safe during the COVID-19 coronavirus. We don't know too much about it still. There's over 1 million people, 1.5 million people still like having cases being out here. And I just rather y'all be safe and stay there and be safe for your families and take care of yourselves. Without all that being said, Johnny, where can the kids find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Johnny the Wonder, and you can find my Letterboxd reviews at Johnny Boy Wonder. And yourself, Julian?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at King Julian Owens. So, without further ado, guys, thank you for joining us so much. Love y'all. We'll have to do some more soon.
All right, later.